I'm Wilberforce. I'm 86 years of age. Married 61 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And your hometown is?
Hometown is Scotland, South Dakota.
Okay.
I've lived in South Dakota all my life, and I was in the hardware business here years ago, and then I went into the banking business at Yankton, South Dakota. We were there 34 years, and we're back in our hometown, and we really love it here.
Okay. Were you in the armed services during World War
No,
II?
I was 4F because of a farm accident when I was a little boy. I lost four fingers on my hand,
Oops, sorry.
and it was really upsetting to me because all my friends were going to the service, and I wanted to go so bad, and I tried every branch that there was, and they would not take me, and it was so nearly able. I was so nearly able to go, but I have three fingers missing on my left hand and a half a thumb. If I wouldn't have missed that half thumb, I could have made it. You had to have both four fingers and both thumbs, and it's kind of a sad time for me because all my friends were going, and I had to stay home, and I was frozen to my job. The teachers were hard to find in those years, and so I couldn't go out for any other employment either. I had to stay in my job, and when I was teaching in Wagner, I was on the ration board for sugar, I remember, and we sent also during the war we sent certain foodstuff, sugar included, to my relatives in Norway, and I had an aunt in Norway that was a prisoner of the Germans for 6 months. She was a teacher. She wouldn't teach what they thought she should teach. And then some of my cousins, two or three of them, were in the underground, and they were in the forests for months and months, and their parents didn't even know where they were. And it was a time in this country where the country was really united. People got along, and you didn't hear anybody dispute saying that we shouldn't be in the war and so on, like you hear today. This was really a united time in this country. And I've always been fascinated by listening to my dad, who served in World War I. And I asked him one time, where were you? Where were you when the armistice was signed? And he said he was in Manchester, England, I think it was, and he heard the boats making a lot of noise down on the wharves, and that was the armistice was signed. And I had a cousin from Vyborg, South Dakota, that was carrying his injured buddy to safety, and then a sniper was hiding in a tree, and he shot and killed my cousin. And the ironic part of that was this cousin had another friend from Vyborg, South Dakota area that was in the same group. And so this friend of his let his parents know right away about my cousin being killed. And the parents of this friend of his, they went over to my cousin's parents and expressed their sympathy, and they didn't know their son had been killed. So they got the message before the War Department did. And then this is kind of an ironic story, I think. I was a teaching school, and one time I was at a teacher's reception or social gathering down at Harrisburg, South Dakota, and I met this young lady, and we got into quite a conversation, and she said she had relatives in our town, and it was her brother. And about 3 years later, I was teaching in Lenox, South Dakota, and here is this lady down at the restaurant where we teachers always ate at noon. Here was this lady, and in the meantime, she had been widowed. Her husband was killed in the service. And I guess the ironic part of the whole story is I've been married to her for 61 years.
Well, that's a
Yeah,
wonderful story. Thank
it
you
is.
for sharing that with us. you were living and teaching in Beresford when the war started, or when the United States entered the war. So how old were you then at the time?
I was only about 18 when I was teaching school. In those years, during the war, I went to college for only 1 year, because that was in the Depression years. And so I taught in grade schools in the country, and then I went to teaching in country schools, and I could get by with that because there was scarcity of teachers, so they gave us some kind of an emergency certificate. So when I was teaching high school students, my students were only about 4 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm. That must have been a really interesting
thing. It really
thing.
Was. It really was. And we had our 61st wedding anniversary a year ago, and seven of my students that I taught 15, 60 years ago came. And that was quite a thrill for me.
Oh, that's marvelous. Yeah. Do you remember where you were when you heard about the attack on Pearl Harbor?
Absolutely. I was walking across the street on a Sunday at Centerville, South Dakota.
And what were you doing walking across the street?
Well, it was Sunday, and I think probably what happened, my home was in Scotland, where we are now, and Centerville is 50 miles away. And I think I drove back to Centerville and stopped in town just before I went out to the country where I boarded and roomed, and probably stopped at a cafe or something. And I was just walking across the street, and somebody that knew me told me about it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you mentioned some cousins. What about your own family, your parents and your brothers, when the war started? Did you have brothers who served?
I have a brother that joined the Navy. And I'll never forget, my mother was, you know, it was hard for her to not show her emotions. But my brother left from the farm place about 7 o'clock in the morning, I think. And she had a very sad look on her face, but she never broke down. And she managed it, but it was tough, really hard for her.
And your brother made it back home?
Yes, he made it home without any problem. He was in the Navy, and it was towards the end of the war, so he was only in about a year. But many of my friends were in the service, just lots of them. And I have a lot of respect for people that served in the service, and I can't think of anything greater than a person can do than serve their country. And I guess maybe I'm one of the people, maybe I'm a minority, I'm in favor of the draft. I think everybody should serve. Everybody should serve their time. And maybe it isn't quite fair now. Maybe the way it is now, it's the poor people, people from poor families that are serving. They're enticed by the signing up money they get, and probably they get to go to college afterwards. And I think everybody. And a nice thing about everyone serving in the service reminds me of a man I met in Arizona 2 winters ago. There was 5 boys in the family. They all led good lives and did good jobs. And the youngest one was always in trouble. He couldn't handle his money and partied too much and so on, and got in a little trouble. And he said one day the sheriff came, and he told my brother, he said, "You're either going to jail or the service. You take your choice." Well, he took the service, and his brother told me he's a different man. Never got in trouble again.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, the discipline amazing. Made a different kind of a person out of him.
Now, you said that one of the things that changed is you were not able to leave your job once the war started, mm-hmm. because they really needed teachers. How else did the war affect you and your community? You were one of the people on the home front. So what became different for you once we entered the war? What else about your life changed?
Well, you know, I guess there was a certain amount of sadness because I couldn't go and my friends were going. But I went into writing to my friends that were in the service. And I remember I even had a garden, and they call those victory gardens. And I even had it in the shape of a bee, you know. So I was thinking a lot about the war. And my family, and myself, we just followed it real closely. We listened to the radio every day, every report, and read everything we could in the newspapers. And of course, in our neighborhood, there's many, many boys that went, many, many of the students that I went to college with in high school were going. And my best friend from Menlo, South Dakota, where I went to high school, Melvin Quast was his name. He was my best high school buddy. He was killed in an airplane accident. And it was a sad time. And I can remember people that did what they could to stay out of the service were looked down on terribly, terribly. They were considered bad, bad people. It was a time of real, real patriotism. People were proud to be American and proud to serve. And it had a lot to do with shaping my life. And I, when I talk to veterans, I thank them. I have a group of musicians. We've been together 37 years. And we play a lot of music at big events. And I just got an idea a few weeks ago. The last two shows that we put on, I invited anybody that's a veteran, you come down here to the front of the stage, and I'm going to give you a free tape.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's
and a few weeks ago, I was playing at a festival down in near Elk Point, South Dakota, and there's a lady came through. She's from someplace in Nebraska, and she calls herself a minister, but she's not a minister of the gospel. She's a minister to servicemen, and she does this for free. She won't charge, but she'll accept a donation, and she would like to have gasoline money for traveling and one night's lodging. And she goes around the country, and she gets on programs, and she sings three or four songs, and then she calls all the World War II veterans up, and she shakes their hand, every one of them, gives them a little medal, and then she calls the Korean veterans up, does the same, and then from the Vietnam War. And I was really impressed with that, and I am going to try to get her to come here and do the same thing in Scotland.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. That sounds terrific. Mm-hmm. How do you think the war changed your life? Even though you weren't a soldier, even though you weren't necessarily in combat, people in the United States, people who stayed at home gave up a lot of things, and
yes,
life was different for you. How was it ultimately, what was the ultimate effect on you, do you think?
Well, I guess it left me with a kind of a complex, although I couldn't do anything about it. But it kind of bothered me that I couldn't be in the BFW, or I couldn't belong to the American Legion. And on the other hand, I guess it's put me in a position where sometimes I get to talking about the service with people that did serve, and I tell them thank you for serving, and it's a regret. It's one of my regrets that I didn't get to go, and I feel just a little bit bitter, because I could drive a truck in the service just as good as anybody else. I can type. This handicap. I worked in a bank for 25 years, and took typing, and there's so many things I could have done. So I never could really feel any reason why they didn't take me. And it's a regret I have, but that's life. You know, we don't get everything we want in life. And, you know, I'm very proud of my father, who I took him for many, many years to Wagner, South Dakota, where they have a reunion,
mm-hmm.
and also to Wakanda, South Dakota, where they had a reunion. And he just loved to go. And Joe Schmidt from this town was the oldest. He lived to be 106. And my dad was always the second oldest when they introduced him. And my dad lived to be 98. And when he was about 92 or 3, he put on his uniform when I took him to one of those meetings, and it fit.
Oh, my
it
goodness.
It fit after all those years. And that isn't all. It was in good shape. He had it in a trunk. It was in good shape, just like it was new. And that's the one thing I'm so glad that I was able to do for my father. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that we haven't talked about yet that you would like to comment on?
Well, I'm very critical of people, armchair generals back home in the war that we're in now. You know, they all seem to think they have the solution, and they want to call everybody back home, and I don't think they really realize the consequences of what would happen if we did that. And myself, I have a lot of admiration for the president, and I still think we're going to win. I don't think we're going to lose. And it's a sad thing of all the split thinking we have on the war. It doesn't help win it. And it seems like it's all political now. It's all blame. And I think we should be focusing on winning it. And if we the president gets a lot of criticism, but he selects the smartest military men that he could get. Who wouldn't? You want to get the best you can, and he takes their advice. And he has been really, I think the president or commander in chief has been treated very badly by the press, by the news media. And my wife says I'm a eternal optimist, and I think we're going to win, because it reminds me of something a man told me a long time ago when I first went into politics as a state senator. He says, remember this, right is might. Right is might.
Now, you said you were in state politics, and of course I can't help notice the last name Foss. Are you related to Joe Foss?
No.
No?
You know,
okay.
I met him, we knew him, we've had him in our home, but I met him up in North Dakota. He was signing some books at a big Norwegian festival up in. So I went up to him and I said, you know, I've been asked a million times if I'm related to Joe Foss. Has anybody ever asked you if you're related to Wilbur Foss?
That's a great question.
I've got a little story about that too. When I was on the school board here, he spoke at our PTA meeting, and someone had taken met him down at Tyndall, where he landed his plane, and so we had him at our place for lunch, and then we took him down to Tyndall so he could fly back to Pierre. And when I drove into that alfalfa field and I saw that plane that he was driving, I thought, what are you doing? He rented an old weed spraying plane. It looked like it wouldn't even get off the ground. It didn't have lights, and he didn't have a compass, and it was midnight, and he flew back to Pierre.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
He's quite a guy. Very good governor, and a wonderful military record. I think 29 Japanese airplanes he shot out of the air.
What is it that you think is most important for people now to remember about World War II, Mr. Foss?
That families made sacrifices. They lost their husbands, they lost their boys. In some cases, there was women lost in the service too. But I think we should also remember how everybody worked together at that time. The Red Cross, and they treated the servicemen real good. They had entertainment for them. I forget what they called those organizations where they fed them and they had dances for them and so on.
I think that was the USO.
Right. Yeah. And it was a time of real cooperation, and everybody was for the good old USA. And when you read the horror stories of how many Jews were killed, you know, it's just a terrible thing. And it's hard to believe that it happened in our time. It's hard to believe in our happened time. And going back to World War One, in this town, there's a lot of German people around here, but some people still kind of hated the Germans because of World War One, and some of the German people from Trip in Scotland, they were going to send a bunch of cattle to Germany so those people could have meat and milk, and those cattle were brought over to Trip in Scotland, between here and Trip, and the people that were against sending that to the Germans, they scattered the cattle one night with the horses and scattered them all over the country, and they got them all back again together, and they had to get the law out with guns, because they were going to try to do the same thing again, and so it all ended without any bloodshed, but very nearly did.
Wow. So the attitude then, at least with regard to supplying them with food, was that the enemy didn't deserve.
That's right.
The same things that we had
in
this country.
Yeah. But you know, that's what this country, I think, is famous for. You know, we fought some of those countries, and we helped rebuild them. We helped rebuild them, and I guess, you know, we ought to be thankful that we were kind enough to do it, and they certainly ought to be thankful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people in countries aren't, and they forget, you know, they forget what you've done for them. But this United States of America is the greatest.